Hey, I'm Charlie, and thanks for being here today. If you're already a subscriber to the show, thank you so much. You're incredible, and your support means more than you know. And if you're here for the first time, make sure you subscribe to the show, because today, like in every episode, I'm bringing you the most amazing, childless, child-free content on the internet that teaches you how to overcome those limiting beliefs you have about yourself and stop the self-sabotaging behaviors that are holding you back from embracing a life you deserve.
You're listening to the Life Beyond Infertility podcast with Charlie Dice, the show that teaches you how to get unstuck from the grief and loss of infertility so that you can accept and embrace a joyful life beyond it.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Life Beyond Infertility podcast. I am joined today by a special guest, Samantha Delsenor. She and her husband turned to surrogacy to help create their family after experiencing infertility and is on the podcast today to share their journey with you all. They're currently expecting twins, and Samantha started a surrogacy coaching business to help other intended parents navigate the complex and beautiful journey to parenthood via surrogacy. Samantha, I will let you introduce yourself and we'll get started with your story.
Hi, yes. So I'm Samantha. I'm super excited to be here today to just kind of really talk about the journey to surrogacy, why we chose surrogacy, some of those ups and downs, and some of those feelings, you know, that still come across with surrogacy, some of like the funny moments that we've experienced, but also, you know, the ways that it honestly has really strengthened, you know, the relationship with my husband. I'll start with, I found out that I would not be able to carry a child. I was about 14, so I would not be able to carry for medical reasons. And, you know, I think there's a lot of shame, you know, I think that women feel about that. I personally thought that I was defective, like who could love someone that wasn't going to be able to give them the family that they are rightfully allowed to want. So it definitely made dating really, really hard because I was like, who the heck is going to find that attractive? Who can climb this mountain with me? So flash forward 17 years, I am now married. So my husband and I, we turned to surrogacy because it was the safest way to have the family that we wanted. There were a ton of considerations that we had to think through. Could we afford to do this? You know, or did we need to think through adoption, the legal aspect of all of this? Like, what the heck were we in for? Flash forward also, here we are now. So we found the surrogate. She's unbelievable. Like, I can't even believe, you know, that people like her exist, truly. I mean, we're so grateful to her. We have a great relationship, you know, constantly telling how grateful we are for her. And it really has been something very, very special. The baby just kicked. Well, both of them just kicked. So we are on that kind of high right now. And yeah, yes, expecting there you go. Twins. There's a lot of emotions that go through surrogacy. And I think realizing the complexity behind it, we really wanted to share our story because I think there's this misconception that surrogacy may be unattainable financially because, well, only celebrities do it. Only they can afford to do this. I think you think, what will my family think? Will they accept this child? What do I tell people? So I think a lot of those questions definitely come out that I think a lot of your viewers can really resonate with, you know, a lot of those questions of dealing with family and questions of, am, you know, what's right for my family here?
Yeah, absolutely. And your story is amazing and so inspiring. And I want to dive into those questions right away. So in terms of the affordability of surrogacy, because I know for myself, it's not something that my husband and I even looked into because we did have that conception that, oh, it's way too expensive. We're just not going to be able to afford it. You don't obviously have to get into specific numbers, but can you kind of talk to the affordability of it for the everyday couple?
Yeah. So it is a substantial investment for sure. It probably will range somewhere, between 100,000 and maybe about 125,000. What I have come to realize is that there are a lot of organizations out there willing to give grants to people to help them be able to afford this. Some people do take out loans and they think of it as, well, I'm investing in my family. Because ultimately, yeah, you do want the family that you want. I don't want to discount that there are a ton of organizations out there willing to give loans to families in need. Also, you definitely want to check your employer's benefits. We got very lucky that we were definitely supported by our employers. So that was great. So before discounting, see, because the cost of it, definitely be thinking, well, how can my employer support this? Are there organizations that maybe I could get a grant from?
Yeah. And I know when you and I talked before we even booked the podcast, you had mentioned the grants to me. And that just kind of blew my mind, honestly, because I never even considered that those types of resources would be out there. And I'm obviously immensely thankful that they are. And I'm thankful that you're sharing that information with the listeners, because I think it's something that surrogacy as a whole is still kind of shrouded in mystery, so to speak, and there's just not a lot of transparency with it. So knowing that those potential resources are out there, I think is just, you know, so needed and such. If we can bring more awareness to that, just like you're doing now, I think that's amazing. So thank you for sharing that.
And another way to think through the surrogacy endeavor and kind of try to think about the finances is think about also, you know, talk to your tax advisor about what costs may be tax deductible. You know, because some of those costs may be tax deductible if it's a cost related to you with IVF treatments or whatnot. So definitely consult your tax advisor, but there are ways to maybe minimize what truly comes out of pocket.
Yeah. And the number you threw out, even the range, that's pretty comparable to adoption. So if you decide that, and I should ask you this if I can, are the babies that the surrogate is carrying, are they your husband's sperm and your egg? Or did you go the egg donation, sperm donation route? Because I know that's sometimes a question people have with surrogacy as well.
Right. So they are our embryos. Legally, they, you know, you go through a parentage order to establish parentage to make sure that everyone is in agreement that there is no genetic tie to our surrogate. And also something I didn't even realize is the difference between a surrogate and a gestational carrier. A surrogate may be genetically related, where a gestational carrier would not be genetically related. So there are a lot of legal hoops that we had to jump through to make sure that, like, we're going to get named on the birth certificate. Also, so that way we can make all legal, financial, medical decisions for these boys come day one. The legal piece, I cannot stress enough how critical the legal piece is of that. It can come off as very harsh, very transactional, but it's so critical to get that straight of, these are ours. You know, we have a surrogate, we're the intended parents, these babies are to come home with us. And really, like, what those desires are, all get written out in a gestational surrogacy agreement, where everyone basically says, we acknowledge who these kids belong to, what our role in this is versus what the surrogate's role in this is. There's that parentage order. And some of those laws vary state by state. So you definitely need to think about the laws in whatever state you live in, but also whatever state your surrogate lives in. Usually you need to abide by the laws of where your surrogate is or wherever they are delivering. I highly recommend researching a lot of attorneys. We were very blessed to have two amazing attorneys, both in the state that we live in and also where our surrogate lives. Two amazing attorneys that really made sure that that agreement covered everything. Everything from, like, social media clauses, who can be in the delivery room. You know, so you go through all of that. Who holds the baby first? You know, so you have to go through all of that. But it's so critical to do that and to get it right. Get your name on the birth certificate so you have all those legal protections.
Yeah, it's stuff that I think you don't necessarily want to think about. And like you said, it feels very transactional, but I'm sure that it's all put in place for a reason because it's come up before in these types of situations, and protecting yourself because it is a very, or I'm sure it's a very emotionally charged journey, just like infertility is. And so you don't want to leave anything to chance that you don't have to, right?
Exactly. And I would say that when I think a lot of people do debate surrogacy or adoption, that is one of the benefits of surrogacy is I think you have more of that legal control from the get-go versus in adoption, they have time to change their minds. It's not a for sure thing or not as for sure as surrogacy. So surrogacy may be more expensive than adoption, but there are fewer lesser knowns in that regard.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it also, I would expect to have it cost more because of that, but I would also expect to have more peace of mind, like you said, because of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of it depends if you want it to be your genetic child, or if that maybe is not the priority and you're like, there are so many children that need great homes. It totally depends on where your mindset is coming from. For us, we really did want the biological children. So we chose that route really for that reason. That was really the deciding factor for us.
And let's dive into the other thing you brought up at the top of the show, which is your family. How did they react? Were they supportive? Was there that person that kind of asked those awkward questions? How did you handle that, breaking the news to your families?
Yeah. So all of the above, it's really run the gamut, mostly incredibly supportive. And you get a lot of, oh, that's interesting. You also will get a lot of, oh, wait, why? And I have come to realize you don't owe anyone an explanation, but there is a polite way to kind of say that where oftentimes, you know, I'll just say due to medical complication, it really just wasn't safe for me to carry. So we needed to take an alternative route. Normally people stop there. There have been a few people that have been like, oh, well, what's the issue? And depending on who it is, I answer because you have a right to answer or not answer. But it was funny because one of my family members did bring up to me of like, you may need to have like your elevator pitch, kind of like have your answer ready just so you're not taken by surprise. I've had some of that. Some people do start asking questions. And once they ask one, they may ask another. How did you find your surrogate? Do you have a good relationship with your surrogate? They'll ask a lot of that. They will definitely, if I'm out and they see me drinking and they know that we're expecting, they're like, wait, what? And it's like, it's fine. I left my bump in another state.
Yeah, right.
You kind of got to take a little bit of humor with it.
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to have some humor in it. There are some moments where I really do want to give a very sassy answer and just be like, none of your business. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I have found that it is more women that will ask more detailed questions than men. Men are like, oh, okay. Like that's interesting. It also has opened up dialogue where I've learned of other people's fertility struggles where they were like, oh, that's really interesting. I've been told I may not be able to carry my next child. So maybe surrogacy is something that I need to consider. A lot of different reactions, but I would say for the most part, like all very, very positive, very supportive, because it really is at the end of the day, there's no one right way to build a family. Families come in all shapes, sizes. They come in a million different ways. And it's amazing that we have this option. I would say overall, very, very positive. Gotten some belly rubs, which is always funny. I've gotten, oh, you look great. And it's like, yeah, because it's not me caring, but thank you. Right. So you just laugh it off. No one means any harm. And I think that's where I've had to come from is it's very innocent. People don't all, they don't always know. They may not know what to say. They may not know that it is a surrogate. I've had people apologize after, be like, oh my God, I didn't realize, I was just offensive. And I'm like, honestly, I don't take any of that personally. You can't.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that your families have been so supportive. I think that having that community around you is so important. And one thing that just popped into my head while you were talking is, do you and your husband, have you discussed how you're going to tell your sons how they were brought into this world when they're old enough to understand that? I think that's probably a question that some of the listeners would have, is how do you kind of balance that ethical family building with those conversations when the kids are old enough?
Absolutely. I mean, and I do think that transparency is really important, because you don't want to wake up and they're 18 and all of a sudden it spills and they're like, wait, what? Hold on. Like, what? How did I get here? And it's natural to want to understand how. So what we've talked about is very much so that we wanted them so badly, but I would have gotten very sick had they been in my tummy. So we searched high and low for the nicest, most qualified, best person that we possibly could have entrusted them to carry them on our behalf. We went to every doctor's appointment, always checked up, everything like that. You make it about how sickness, and you tie it into a child doesn't like when they feel sick. So I would have felt sick. And if I was sick, they would have gotten sick, and no one likes to be sick. And we wanted what was best for them. And to do that, we found the kindest person to do that, you know, who was giving us such a gift. So it's great to know that there are these wonderful women out there who would give that gift. We plan to make it about health, because kids can understand health. We want to make it about a gift, because kids also do understand gifts. And we want them to know how much they were loved. This process was very long, very emotionally draining. And you don't go through that if you don't have the love. And not even for 1 second have I felt like they're not mine. I think about them all the time. I truly, truly do. I think it was funny, because when I learned that they had kicked, it was probably one of the quote unquote happiest sad that I had ever felt. Happy that they kicked, because that's such a great thing. That's such a great milestone, but sad that that wasn't me, that I would have wanted that. But me, if I had done that, that wouldn't have been the right thing for them. So we were doing what was best for them. And maybe that just meant finding someone else to carry them for us. So that's really the story, that health, a gift, how much they were wanted.
That's really powerful. I love that you're taking that transparent and honest route with them. And what you said about it being a very bittersweet moment when they kicked, is, I just kind of got goosebumps, because I was like, wow, that is so true. Anyone on a fertility journey always seems to have those conflicting emotions and bittersweet moments. And how do you work through those? And how do you, you know, deal with that? I love that that's the path that you're taking with them. And I know that they're going to feel the love from you guys from day one. So I do have to ask, did you know that you were having twins, or did you anticipate having twins?
So we did a double embryo transfer for a lot of different reasons. Because the process is so time consuming, it's emotionally draining, it's expensive. My husband and I were like, you know what? Like, let's go for it. We're very big sports fans. So I'm all about the 2-point conversion, where it's like, go for it. We were like, you know what? Let's go for this. We really don't want to do this 3-4 times, where I think we want a family of about 3. Well, how do you do this 3 times? I mean, it takes quite the toll. So we wanted to go for the twins. Also, my grandmother was a twin. So for me, that was also just something special. I'd always been fascinated by twins. We're super excited. We very much intentionally did. And it was funny going going to the first ultrasound where we knew that there was a pregnancy. We were like, okay, fantastic. We were watching the HCG levels, the pregnancy hormone levels. And I'm like, oh my God, they're really high. I'm like, I think both took. We went to the ultrasound and my husband and I, we both were like, okay, we are definitely prepared to hear that there are two. That was the expected outcome. We're prepared. We probably would have felt a little bit of sense of loss had it only been a singleton because we knew we transferred two. I think we both would have been on the floor if one of those split and all of a sudden there's triplets. The ultrasound tech quickly was like, oh my God, there's two. And I was like, keep looking. Is there a secret? I was like, we can't cancel this, but if there is, I need to know right now.
Right.
But yes, to really answer your question, we did want twins. Just the process is hard. And, you know, we wanted the larger family. I recognize a lot of families that do go through infertility, you know, may have a smaller family just because the amount of time, energy, money that you're spending on the process, you know, may be limiting. And who wants to be limited just because something that you really can't control? You want what you want.
No, thank you for answering that. It was just kind of a question in the back of my mind. And I think I would feel the same way in your position. Like, let's not drag this out. Let's not do this more often than we need to. And if you want a big family, then yeah, go for it.
Yeah. And they'll have a built-in playmate. So the little saying that I keep saying to them is I'm like, from roommates to roommates.
There you go. I love that.
So they're roommates right now.
Right. And how did you, for somebody or a couple that's just kind of starting to consider surrogacy, how did you find your surrogate? Did you go through an agency? How did you kind of start that search process?
Yeah. So we first started at our fertility clinic. They're very, very well known in the Southeast. And when we decided we were going to go through surrogacy, they gave us a list that had about 6 agencies, 3 attorneys, just like a really good referral list. So my husband and I decided, we were like, you know what? Actually, let's try this on our own first. Because, oh my goodness, those agency fees are very expensive. And we were like, well, maybe we'll be able to find our own. So we joined all those Facebook groups. And that was really frustrating. To be quite honest, a lot of flakiness, and you know, they're not really vetted. I know that our clinic has really stringent criteria because they want the best success rate that they could get. We did that for about 2 months and decided, look, we just need to go with the list that we got from the fertility clinic. They are tried and true. So let's look at these agencies. When researching them, no agency is the same. They have different pricing, different criteria that they may be screening for. So we did end up with an agency and we absolutely love our agency. I text with our coordinator all the time. She's actually become a really, really good friend, someone that I could really lean on. I can't imagine having gone through this without an agency. It honestly, we matched in about 6 weeks. And it was the second match that they had presented to us. We did not match with the first one because my husband and I actually were not married at that time. We were getting married in 3 months, or actually in 2 months at that point. So she went with someone that was, you know, ready to go tomorrow, which totally understood. When you're ready, you're ready. But the surrogate has been perfect for us. We loved her background. She is a nurse by training. So we felt really comfortable with that. She's incredibly communicative, will tell us really anything of like, yeah, when the baby kicks, or she'll tell us any cravings that she's having. She's craving spicy food. We tried to send her things, you know, to kind of help her. Morning sickness. I'm constantly like, how are you feeling? And that one's been really hard because I'm like, well, how do I help? What do I do? But the agency has been great because I've leaned on them to ask, how do I help her? You know, what is normal? What's not normal? Am I going overboard? So definitely agency for sure.
Yeah. And what did the agency recommend for that? Did they, you know, is that normal for the transfer parents to ask daily, or is it kind of just a case by case? How do they kind of, what did they advise you in that respect?
Yeah, so definitely case by case, because I think some couples do want to keep it very transactional, and I can't blame them, you know, because it's hard, because it's like, well, the surrogate is kind of a reminder of something that you feel like your body was supposed to do by itself. And you didn't really want to be in this position, but here you are. So you could take the transactional route and just kind of let things play out. Maybe check in once a week and be like, hey, how are you feeling? Or you could be like, let me send you some soups. Or what do you need? We took the route of, yes, we knew this was a possibility, very bad morning sickness. We totally knew. And I let her know, I'm like, I would do anything to take that from you and take that on myself and carry that myself. What do you need? How can I help you? When she has kids of her own, you know, and so I ask, how are they doing? Are you still able to do all your activities with them? Because you want to make sure that they're maintaining their life. So it really depends if you want to be a little more transactional or if you want to be a little more hands-on. Our surrogate, we're definitely in that in between of, you tell me what you need, where you want me to be, because I don't want to micromanage. That's not fair to her. I trust her. But at the same time, do you always want that reminder? And they are getting paid to do this. So it is a risk that has been accepted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great perspective to have on it. And just having that honest, open communication, like you said, right from the start, and just having that agreement in place that lays everything out and manages those expectations, that I know from my personality, that would really make me feel a lot better about the whole situation.
Exactly. And a lot of that gets worked out, you know, in the matching process, where you talk about what kind of communication or relationship do you want with your surrogate? Do you want constant communication, or are you more like, you know, hey, I'll show up at the appointments, just kind of like keep me posted, and it can range, but you want to match based on what both of your expectations kind of are. And our surrogate was really wonderful, where she's like, well, you tell me what you really want. Like, I get it. Like, these are your kids. You tell me how much you want to know. And I remember there was one day that I was just feeling it. I was having a day, was just really, really sad, because I was like, my head and my heart know that we're expecting, but there's no belly. I can't feel them. And that was really hard, because you want to know how they're doing. You do. I told the surrogate that. I was like, I'm going to be really vulnerable here for a second and let you know that is how I'm feeling. And she was so gracious and was like, how can I help you? What do you want to know? Do you want more communication from me? How can I help you with that feeling? So that was really wonderful too, and made me feel great about it, that there is someone who cares about how I'm feeling in this just as much as I care about how she's feeling in this. It's worked out great. The agency has helped with that relationship, kind of helped build it. And they were really good at matching the personalities.
That's amazing. I think that it sounds, obviously, you don't, like you said, you don't want to necessarily be in this position, but it sounds like you found your perfect match, so to speak. So
We did for sure. It's always great to see her, for sure.
And if there were, for someone that is just starting on this surrogacy journey, or they're trying to decide if that's the right path for them to take, do you have like three tidbits of advice or things that you wish you knew before starting this that you want the listeners to know?
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, open communication with your partner. What criteria, if you were to go down the surrogacy path, what criteria is the most important criteria to you as you match? So that's really important to be on the same page. And along those lines, I would say there do have to be some very tough conversations. Your comfort level with finances, your comfort level with abortion. Should anything happen where that comes up, where do you stand on that? So that's really important to be on the same page about. I remember we were constantly asked from the clinic to the agency, the legal agreement, we were constantly asked, well, what are your views on this? What are your views on that? So being on the same page, I would say, is number one. And be realistic with your expectations, because the more deal breakers you put on your criteria, the less likely you are to make a deal. It becomes impossible to make a deal. I know for us, our thing was, well, we want twins. We want a surrogate who will say okay to that. And I know people who they were like, they must be COVID vaccinated. They must keep this kind of diet. Well, no, if you do that, your journey may take a little while longer for you to find the right match, you know? So I would say, get your priorities lined up. I would say, yes, think about your elevator pitch to friends, to family. Talk about your why and think about what details are you willing to share and what details are you not willing to share, that you say, this is a private matter but between us, and when you're okay to share, because you never know what's going to happen in a pregnancy. Do you want to tell people that you're going down this route or not? So I would say that. I would also do a ton of research on agencies, on the laws in your state, tax laws too. So I guess to summarize, get on the same page with your partner about what's really important to you. I would say definitely do a ton of research, you know, clinics, law, the legal aspect, all of that, and think about your criteria.
Yeah, those are all great. And if they're just starting to look for information, to your third point, do you recommend they ask if they have a fertility clinic, go through them first? To ask for those resources of how to kind of get this process started?
Absolutely. I think your fertility clinic is going to be your best friend in starting to help you build out your team. They can kind of help have, maybe just like what we did, have six agencies, because there are thousands of agencies and they are not all built the same. I would definitely lean on that list. For sure. And that, I think, is where I wanted to think about the surrogacy coaching business, because we didn't know what we didn't know. I mean, I had 17 years to be ready, and we still weren't fully ready of like, oh, wait, we needed to have a will in place. What do you mean? Like, I just got married.
Yeah, let's dive into that. Your business and that being something positive that came out of a maybe not so positive situation for you.
Exactly. So I think that is where a surrogacy coach can really help. And like where I want to help couples starting out in this process, because it can be overwhelming. Your clinic may not give you a list of vendors, or you may even think, okay, how do I compare these agencies? What do I need to think about as I'm selecting my surrogate? What criteria is going to kind of make this a lot longer? What legal considerations do I need to think about? Oh my goodness, a notary. Know where to find a notary, everyone. Not everyone knows where to find a notary. I think that is definitely what I realized, was I had a great team of professionals, but there was no one who was kind of quarterbacking this, looking at the whole picture. So coming right out of wedding planning, I was like, wait a minute. I could have used like a wedding planner for surrogacy, someone who's really talking to me about how to work with the clinic, how to work with the agency, how to work with a monitoring clinic, because your surrogate may need to go to a monitoring clinic before they go back to an OB. What legal considerations I need to think about so I can go into those discussions with an attorney armed, ready to go, and know what I need to think through, because I think knowledge is power. And the more knowledge you have, the better decisions that you're going to be able to make, and the faster this process will go. If you know what's about to come, you have time to prepare for it a little bit more. So that's how we were able to get from match to transfer in 6 months, was just this constant communication and, okay, what's next? What do you need? So it would have really been nice to have had a coach to also lean on for some of those emotional spirals too, because it is a highly emotional time. And while my husband was super supportive and my family was super supportive, no one's an expert in this. And it probably would have been very nice to have had someone who's been there, done that, to be like, yes, I know this legal part. I know you're frustrated right now because it is the last piece. It's your last hurdle before you get to transfer. I get the angst. But you want someone to get it. You don't always want to maybe have to run to your partner because they may be dealing with their own stuff too. And so it may be nice to get that third party to tell you what's to come next and just help you prepare. So it goes a little smoother, it goes a little faster. Also, who wouldn't want to protect a six-figure investment? That's how I would have looked at it, as protecting a six-figure investment to make sure that I am using the right professionals, that the advice that they're giving is sound and is going to help us move the needle, move us towards our goal of having a baby as quickly as we can, but with the right team.
Wedding planner for surrogacy. I love that. I think that should be your tagline. And I know I was just on your... It is. Yeah, absolutely. I do. I genuinely love it. I was just on your website, thesurrogacycompass.com. Can you speak to what kind of services do you offer if folks are interested in a surrogacy planner?
Yeah. So I wanted to offer something that was really flexible, recognizing not everyone's situation is the same, including what needs they have or their financial resources as well. I completely respect and understand that this is a very expensive process. So I wanted to offer private coaching where it's just you and me. We talk through your very specific circumstance. We can tailor everything to your needs because everyone's situation is different. There's also group coaching. So what I want to do there is really establish a community of parents, of intended parents going through this, where you can learn from each other. Because I think oftentimes you can feel really alone in the infertility journey, no matter if it's surrogacy, IVF, adoption, whatever route you're taking, you can feel very alone. So I wanted to do group coaching where you can also learn from your peers. Someone may be a little further along in their journey and had a hiccup that maybe they're trying to help you avoid that hiccup, or they're like, okay, no, this is coming. We did this and it worked. I want to also have that forum. So there's private coaching and group coaching that I'm looking to start up. And I think both are incredibly valuable, where again, protect that investment, get the advice so you can move through this journey smoothly and quickly.
Absolutely. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you, learn more about your story, but also learn more about the services that you offer?
Yeah. So the website is thesurrogacycompass.com. You can also find me on Instagram at Surrogacy Compass, and you can also find me on Facebook at Surrogacy Compass. Awesome. My Gmail is also surrogacycompass@gmail.com. So I'm happy to do a free consult, a free 30-minute consult with anyone, kind of talk through your situation, think through if coaching is right for you, or which kind of coaching may be right for you, because I understand, especially with the sensitivity, some people may not want group where they're like, no, this is really private. But I also understand how some people may say, no, I want to hear from not only you, but from other intended parents.
Absolutely. And we will put all of Sam's links in the show notes so that it's easy access for you to find her. I'm really excited to continue to follow you and your journey. I always ask this as the last question, and I'm really interested to hear what your answer is, because you have taken kind of a non-traditional path to motherhood. But if you could give your 18-year-old self one piece of advice, knowing then what you know now, what would that be?
Ooh, not honestly, trust that you will get through it. I mean, because again, I knew that I was going to be in this position at 14. And at 18, I don't know who's going to love me for that. So I would say trust for sure. Trust that you will get through it, that there are different paths, and that's okay. I think giving that permission, and also trusting that people are good, that you will not be as judged as you think you might be. I thought I was going to be horribly judged, and I wasn't. So I do wish my 18-year-old self would have trusted that things would have been okay, in that I would find a guy that will be on this journey with me without batting an eye. He's in it.
And shout out to those men that are strong enough to go on these journeys with us, because it takes a real, and I shouldn't say men, a partner,
anyone, you know,
that it takes a lot of confidence and a lot of just being in the trenches with that person. So shout out to all the partners out there who are willing to do that.
100%. Knowing how to support them, when to hold them, when to push them and be like, this will pass, or letting them know, hey, it's okay to take a break. We can come back to this. You seem really overwhelmed right now. So agreed. You having the right partner in this, critical. So shout out to those very supportive, strong partners that are in the trenches with you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Samantha. I really enjoyed talking to you. I've learned so much, and I know that the listeners will as well. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for shining a light on what's maybe still kind of a gray area in the family building space. And I'm just excited to see what happens with your boys. Be sure to follow along to see them when they arrive. If that's your, we're going to want to keep them to yourself for a while, I'm sure. But
you got to treasure them for a little bit.
Yeah, right. But congratulations, you know, truly, and enjoy your family. And it's been such a great learning experience for me talking to you. And I know that the services that you're offering are really going to resonate with a lot of folks and are definitely needed. So thank you for that.
No, thank you for having this forum, for sure. Thank you all. And I hope you all learned something. And yeah, surrogacy is an option.
Thanks for listening. You're incredible, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you haven't done so already, make sure you hit that subscribe button, because you don't want to miss next week's. And the other thing I want you to do after listening to this episode is this. Visit www.charliedice.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. Every week, I send you a short email that gives you actionable steps you can take to start feeling more like yourself again. You'll get things like stories from previous podcast guests, things they didn't share during the show, tips for navigating the workplace as a childless, child-free person, and conversation starters for family gatherings, and so much more. Check it out.